Hello, listeners. It's Jose, a.k.a. The Region Nerd, and we're recording in the lovely studios of Lakeshore Public Media to bring you the latest discussion on everything pop culture, from Comic-Cons to drag shows, horror movies to hip-hop, and everything in between. Take a break from politics and hang out with us right here on Region Nerd Alert. Darth Vader, Stormtroopers, Tusken Raiders, and even Wookiees. If you are a nerd of Star Wars, you know exactly who I'm talking about. The 501st Legion is a worldwide organization dedicated to the pinpoint accuracy of not only the look of the bad guys of Star Wars, but also the behavior. I have two very special guests, Tom Rosie and Mike Detterman, both a part of the Midwest Garrison of the 501st, here today to discuss a new documentary they are producing about the 501st, as well as share stories about their time served. Join us on this week's Region Nerd Alert. All right, and welcome everybody. This is Jose, aka Joey Nerd Alert, and you're listening to Lakeshore Public Radio 89.1 FM, streaming worldwide at lakeshorepublicradio.org. Also, if you are catching us on the NPR One app, hello and welcome. So today we have a very special guest. I'm very excited to have him because it's not only cosplay related, but it's also Star Wars related.
Yes.
And we love Star Wars here. And before I get to him and also our special phone caller, let's introduce the usuals really quick. To my immediate left, we have Mr. Skyler.
Mr. Skyler, yep.
A.K.A.
Fat Low End, I guess, on the...
The Twitter
on the podcast, so yeah. Yep, Twitter and then Instagram, just at the Olotho, and SoundCloud. Olotho.
Yep,
and then, all the music.
Yes, thank you. And Skylar also does our intro music, so go check him out. Olotho, SoundCloud, and to his second left, because we're skipping over our special guest. I'm trying to really hype this this
hype
tension.
Hype him up.
Hype him up.
And we have Miss Heather.
Hey, Heather, also at Deli Hams with one S on Twitter and Deli Hams with two S's on Instagram, which I still need to use a lot more.
I do as well. Okay, so today we have, like I said, very special guest. If you are not aware, there's a group called the 501st Legion. Am I saying that right?
Yep, you're saying that right.
And if you are a fan of Star Wars and you are a fan of costume making and you're a fan of cosplay, then you will be very interested. We have Mr. Tom Rosie.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thank you for being here. I genuinely mean that. Yeah. And our friend Brian, mutual friend, hooked us up. And thank you, Brian.
Yep.
I also appreciate you. And on the phone today, we have Mike Detterman?
Yep, Detterman.
Detterman? All right, great, cool. Two for two. All right. And Mike is the cinematographer for your guys' new documentary coming out, correct?
That's correct. And so what the documentary is about this group, the 501st. Specifically, we follow the Midwest Garrison around, which is the garrison in Illinois, which is where I'm from. If you're not familiar with how it works, each state has a garrison. And so that garrison represents that state. And so my garrison, the Midwest garrison, is what I've been following around. Now, in doing that, this originally started out as a idea that we had at a convention called C2E2.
Okay. Yeah, we actually talked about that here, too. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So one day we were at C2E2. I think we were wrapping up. And with the day, it was probably a Sunday. And we're at one of the after parties. And we have Mike here on the phone, and Mike is a cinematographer. I've actually worked with him a few times on different projects. I got connected to Mike and a few other people through the filmmaking process for making some movies that we've been filming out in Wisconsin. One of them being The Rocket. Most recently, one called Blame. And we've also worked together on a few projects, like some YouTube stuff where we just kind of throw some stuff together just for fun.
Right, right. Mm-hmm.
So me and Mike, we're at this after party, and we're talking about, with our experience working together on these projects, and we're talking about how great it would be to have a documentary about the 501st. Not that there hasn't been one already, but I just want to specifically tell this story a different way than I've seen before. And what was coming up, too, was our 20-year anniversary as a garrison. So that alone was, you know, very cool to come up because we are one of the oldest garrisons around. The garrison started about around 97, I believe, something like that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is really spread in like a wildfire, you know, and it's a worldwide organization. It's a nonprofit organization, and we do a lot of charity work, which is why I keep coming back. Mm-hmm. And most people, a lot of people join for many different reasons. I enjoy the charity work. I enjoy being, you know, next to a kid that's just like in awe, you know, while you stand there dressed as someone they've seen on screen. And for me, that's very rewarding when we do the hospital visits and when we do these charity drives and, you know, and toy drives and all this kind of stuff that just really make a meaningful experience out of this. The 501st walks a fine line between cosplay.
Mm-hmm.
It can definitely be considered cosplay, but there's so much more to it than that. And so that's why I think so many different people are attracted to this this type of cosplay or this type of experience, not only for the love of Star Wars, but mm-hmm. also for what this organization is doing for other people and how they're helping out.
So for the listeners at home, the 501st Legion is exclusively Star Wars and not exclusively Stormtroopers, right?
Right. Well, the 501st is the bad guys, and the saying is bad guys doing good. So there
I like
are
that
other
a lot.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Exactly. So there are other groups like the Rebel Legion. There's even the R2 D2 Builder Club. There's the Saber Guild. So there's other clubs that branched off from the 501st, but the 501st is basically the bad guys. So that is including the Stormtroopers. That's including, you know, once you start getting into like the Sith Lords and stuff like that, mm-hmm. that becomes its own little thing too. But there's some characters that can share dual, you know, like clubs. So like a perfect example, the Tusken Raider.
Mm.
That could be considered 501st and Rebel Legion. Mm-hmm. So you can put in for both those clubs. And the process of getting in those clubs is one of the things we talk about on the documentary. You know, when I first seen a bunch of Stormtroopers coming down, leaded by Darth Vader, I was in awe. I was mm-hmm. in shock. And I'm like, how the heck do I do that? You know, like,
that'll most definitely turn heads no matter mm-hmm. where you're at.
Exactly. So, you know, I'm like, how does this work? You know, like, is this obtainable? Are these hired actors? How, you know, because they're at a convention. So, you know, people are cosplaying. But, and that's just the start, I think, for most people is the knowledge and how you can do that if that's something you're interested in. So that's one of the things we cover in a documentary, to let them know that this is obtainable if this is something you really want to do, whether it's just the nerdy aspect of it or the charity work or the fact that you like to build with your hands. Because when I'm out there and I have that costume or whatever costume I'm wearing that day, I made that, you know. And once again, you know, there is a quite a bit of charity going on, and that also represents the people that are in the club too. So there's an outreach to people that need help, that, you know, they don't just you're not just left alone to put your costume together. There's you know, people that will help you achieve those goals.
Right. I think mm-hmm. I was checking out the website a bit, and you guys have tons of like reference material on mm-hmm. which bad guy you want to be. Like, I seen like scout troopers and like
all the different styles laid out, and yep. the different variants of like each, like I think I saw one with the clone troopers, and it had like the tiger clone trooper yep. and all these different forms of the clone trooper and where the colors go and the designs. And
yeah, I mean, you can get specific, and in going through your approval process, you can go for a specific character. And I'll use Sand Trooper, for example.
Mm-hmm.
There's a level of accuracy where you're drilling a certain hole, you know, that was there and they found because they seen a screenshot of it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's, you know, duct tape, you know, over something.
I was going to say, like, these aren't just like, oh, cardboard box robots. Like, these are
yeah.
handmade, down to a T, like movie. I probably see these in movies.
Are the materials also like specific to the different costumes too? You have to follow those guidelines.
Yeah,
as well.
Exactly. So we'll use Stormtrooper again. It's a vacuum form, and it's made just like it was back in 1977. There was a mold made, and then a buck, and then a vacuum or a sheet of ABS that was pulled over that buck and vacuum formed over it. And so we're making these costumes like they were back in the 70s, you know, and we're putting them together and on all that kind of stuff. So, you know, that's really sometimes the hunt too. If you like that kind of aspect of it too, is finding out how accurate you can get. And you know, back then, you know, you're stopping VHSs, you know, and you're trying to grab, you know, screen grabs off of that kind of stuff. Now with the internet and things being so accessible, it's so much easier for people to
Zoom in on the details.
Exactly,
of it,
like, all that, and just get the detail, and then you have the recognition of the filmmakers themselves, knowing that hey, someone's going to want to cosplay this, and let's keep a file on it. You know, that kind of stuff. And, you know, and you'll...
So has, like, Lucasfilms, like, reached out to you guys and, like, recognized you guys? I'm sure...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. We work hand-in-hand with Lucasfilm. In fact, they kind of monitor us, Lucasfilm and Disney now because of the merger.
Right,
so,
right.
So we do have specific rules that we have to follow. And, you know, screen accuracy is one of those things. And then our behavior on what we call troops. So when we go out to these events, we call them troops. Our behavior has to represent, you know, well, first of all, we have to really be in character. And, you know, there's some, you know, you see a dancing stormtrooper. I know some people don't like that. But, you know, you're also engaging with the kids and you're having fun. But, you know, would that be something you would see in the movie? No. And so there's a debate on, you know, what's acceptable with that kind of level of, you know.
So down to the behavior, like Disney and Lucasfilms, like you have to go hand in hand and like communicate with them basically?
Yeah. Okay. So like when you're setting up an event, if you're an event coordinator or an EC as we call it, you know, you're reaching out to, let's say it's a school, like so you're going to a school. There's specific things you need to find out. One, can you bring your blaster? Two, is there a place for us to change?
You know,
I mean, there's all kinds of stuff like that. You know, like we roll in with bins, you know, a lot of us, and these things are big. So you want to know all these kind of specifics when heading to an event. And then, you know, is our stuff going to be secure? Because it's expensive, you know. So you kind of line all that stuff up. The event coordinator takes care of all that stuff. And, each event is, you know, different. We do some birthday parties and stuff like that. Some, you know, not everyone likes to do stuff like that, but you know, we hit obviously the cons, you know, like C2E2, Wizard World, and then, you know, we'll travel for other things. One big event that we have in Illinois is Joliet Star Wars Day. That's actually one of the largest events of its kind in the world.
Is that on May 5th?
I apologize. I have to get the exact date on it. Mike, do you remember when it is? I know you're sitting over there quiet.
When did what was that?
When was Joliet this year?
It was June 1st.
June 1st. Okay.
June 1st. Okay.
Yeah. So was it the same as last year, Mike?
Yeah, actually, you know what? Yeah, it was June 1st last year.
Okay, yeah.
Because it fell on a Friday. Well, 2nd, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like that.
So around the same time every year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, roughly. I will consult my calendar in just a little bit.
Yeah, we'll fact check this later.
And so you guys hit all the cons as well, like C2E2.
Yeah, exactly. And so once again, getting back to the documentary, that's kind of the one thing we wanted to cover because that's where we're most visual.
Right,
that's where
right.
people see us the most, and they. Who knows what they think? They think it's either cool or they think we're just, you know, adults playing dress up.
Mm-hmm. And for the listeners at home, what is the name of the? Is there a final name for the documentary?
Now? The documentary is called Behind the Bucket.
Behind the Bucket.
Yeah.
Okay, and then I'll have that also with the, like on the intros and whatnot.
Yeah, that's a pretty good name.
Very cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm gonna let Mike do a little talking as far as how that name came about, and we'll go from there.
All right. So we'll pass it over to Mike. Basically, like. more details about the documentary aspect?
About the documentary, how they got the title?
Yeah.
We were at C2E2. It was one of those nights, and we were sitting down and having a couple adult refreshments talking about the last project that we had worked on, which was a feature length called The Rocket, which was a lot of fun. And we were just kind of saying, you know what, it'd be great to work on a documentary, because at the time I was working on one about the Great Lakes with another group. And Tom was like, hey, we should do one on the 501st. And I was like, yeah, I mean, that would be great. I was like, you know, I thought you guys were all costumers, so like cosplayers. I had no idea about all the volunteer events. And for me, it's been an education. It's been a real eye opener, which has been good, because I didn't have any idea. And you just made one comment like, man, we could call it Behind the Bucket, so people could see what we see behind the bucket.
The bucket being the helmet, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So it stuck that night. I mean, literally, it came up in that conversation before we even talked to Rex, is the CO.
Right.
For the Midwest Garrison.
So and just to let people know, the garrisons are sort of run like the military without all the push-ups and everything like that, but we, you know, since,
oh, thank God.
Yeah, but the way you know, there's a command staff, and so there's a lot of work that goes that's involved in, you know, organizing and everything, these events. So Rex, the gentleman he just talked about, is our commanding officer over the Midwest Garrison, and he does an incredible job. So I just wanted to make that point, just in case anyone wasn't aware of what goes on. So, you know, we have a commanding officer, we have a command staff, and these people kind of, you know, event coordinate all these things, and they also keep things, you know, the way they should be as far as what Lucasfilm and what Disney want.
So I'm assuming they each have, like, different, responsibilities.
Mm-hmm.
What type of responsibilities would like a commanding officer have as opposed to like a regular officer?
Well, you know, there's guys that handle our website and stuff like that. They're, you know, they fall along those lines. Unfortunately, you know, what you sometimes see is, and I use this as an example, you know, it's a big group of people and it's worldwide once again. So, you know, you have all kinds of personalities that, you know, come into the to the group.
How many people would you say is in the Northwest?
Garrison alone, there's about 250. And so for each member, you've got to figure at least two costumes that someone has, because no one stops at one.
That's a huge number for Northwest Indiana. Illinois.
Yeah, and too. So Indiana's got their own garrison too, and then so does Wisconsin. The Midwest Garrison actually started out as Illinois, Indiana, and Wisconsin, and then split. And so we kept the name Midwest Garrison, and then you have the Northern Darkness on Wisconsin, and I believe Indiana is called Bloodfin or something like that.
It is Bloodfin. Yeah. Bloodfin Garrison.
Yeah.
Those are some really cool names.
Yeah. Actually, Wisconsin's probably got the lamest one. I think they're just Wisconsin Garrison.
Yeah, there's like Ohio Garrison, and like, just named as the state, which I thought was kind of
bogus.
Come
up with something cooler. You know?
They probably didn't know, like, oh, we could name our stuff that.
Anything? Yeah.
Bloodfin? Oh, my goodness.
But no, great guys. You know, we run into each other a lot at these bigger events. So Joliet being one of them. Joliet Star Wars Day, and then obviously the C2E2s and the Wizard Worlds, where we'll go out to their cons and all that kind of stuff. So, it's worldwide, and that's the biggest thing about it. I actually was just considering going on vacation to Turkey, and I reached out to the Turkish Garrison, and I'm
so all the way in Turkey?
Holy
moly.
Yeah, so I'm like, hey guys, I'm planning on coming out, just want to introduce myself. Blah blah blah, you know, like, yeah, let us know when you're coming out, we'll show you around, we'll show you a good time. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, so it's the same thing here, right? I'm actually part of the welcome committee here. We just had a guy from Dubai come in, from the Dubai Garrison.
Wow.
Yeah, and so
you guys are huge.
Yeah, this is
that's
huge.
Amazing.
When I say worldwide, I mean worldwide.
Yeah, wow.
So that's the kind of camaraderie and community that you have in this group. And it's just amazing. And I've never seen anything like it anywhere. I've I'm a fairly new member. I've only been a Garrison member officially for 2 years. I've hung out with them for a while, and it took about a year to get my costume together. That's only because of my own procrastination.
So speaking of, if someone's, say, like a brand new cosplayer, or they have not the slightest idea on how to cut wood or whatever it takes to make these costumes, like me, as you can hear.
Can't wait to see a wood C-3PO running around.
Yeah. Is there sections of like the Garrison that like I would want to join and like volunteer work, like be involved in that aspect without actually having a costume?
Well, yeah. So we call them handlers, which are very important people too, because and even people with costumes will work as a handler that day. And you know, we're in costumes. We're not always seeing little kids at our knees, and especially when I wear a Tusken Raider, you know, it's like literally looking through a straw, two straws, you know.
Yeah. I love the Tusken Raider.
Or like a Wookiee, you know, they're on stilts, that kind of stuff. So our handlers are definitely a big help. They make sure, you know, the flow of people are coming through. They make sure we're not stepping on anyone. I have taken out a little girl before.
Oh, no. Yeah.
So it happened.
I hope she's okay.
Yeah, she was good. I actually had a sound glove, which made the sounds.
Oh, really?
Know? Yeah, so I was using that thing as a horn while I was trying to walk through a crowd, and I just felt a large thump on my leg.
And then pressed the button and then just freak her out even more.
Yeah, I looked down as best I could, and I'm like, oh, I seen her just laid out. And I'm like, I'm sorry. And you know, I didn't want to break character, so I hit that sound glove again. And
get out of the way. Going. Yeah. Probably scarred her for life. Like,
But I should. Now. Yeah, I should have been, you know. The problem is, you know, you don't want to break character, so it's hard to pull that bucket off. You know?
Right. And what is, do you guys have people like that step in when you do break character, or if you're breaking character too much, like, hey, we got to follow guidelines, sort of.
Or do
things.
The handlers break character for you, and then they're the ones that go up and apologize? Like, he did not mean to do that.
Yeah, a little of both. So, you know, some garrisons are a lot more strict, like, especially the Florida Garrison. So I hear, okay. But, you know, you don't pull the bucket off, you know, not in front of the kids. It's just like a Disney princess or a Disney character, right?
You don't want to see him smoking a cigarette.
Right, and that's part of the rules that, you know, that we have to kind of abide by. You know, you're not drinking in costume, you're not smoking in costume, that kind of stuff. And if you are, you're way, way, way away from, you know, people and not seeing them. I'll give you how crazy this is. And even though they're not, I mean, some of them may be, but some of them are not 501st. The stormtroopers that work for Disney are not Garrison members. They are paid actors.
And, oh, wow.
And so there is paid events where they will come out and do different things. And there was one large one at the football game, I believe it was. One of the sporting events. So they asked for, they wanted everyone with the new stormtrooper costumes,
the new trilogy.
Yeah. So they pulled some from Florida. They pulled some guys actually from Disney. They pulled some of our guys from our garrison, and a few people came in. Those guys from the Florida garrison, they didn't even interact with us. They had their own room. The only time we ever seen them was in full gear. I don't mean we because I wasn't there.
Right.
But
right.
These are, you know, this is what I heard. And so they're very, you know, strict about it as far as, you know, they just want to not break that character. And so the Florida Garrison is pretty much the same way. And I think that's, for the most part, how it should be. You don't want to break that, you know, that surprise from the kid and let them see that. Now, there's times where it's rough. There's a parade that we do every year called the Bartlett. It's Bartlett in Bartlett, Illinois, the Bartlett Parade. And it's in July.
Oh,
and
boy.
It's hot. The parade is 2 miles long.
Oh, wow.
So we call it the Death March. And so, you know, the first year I did it, I had no idea, and I wore my Tusken Raider for it, and that's all
the robes
and it was hot, and you know, you want to take some water, and they offer you water, but you just want to, you sort of want to, you know, fight through it too a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I've poured the water in my bucket, you know, just to cool down. And
get a little bendy straw that somehow twists around yeah. right underneath the bucket.
Well, you know, that's how they did it on set. Yeah. You know, a lot of times with the movies, because you didn't want either to take the time to get back into that, you know, that cowl or that, mm-hmm. that oh, yeah. helmet or something like that. So you got to kind of work your way through all that stuff. Yeah.
On the 501st website, I actually read, is it hot in there? And it mm-hmm. says hotter than Tatooine in the summertime or something. Like, oh, wow. Yeah. It must be pretty hot.
Yeah. It gets, you know, we have fans in there too. Not everyone, but I do. And it doesn't do what you think it does. It circulates the hot air.
It doesn't really cool it down.
But yeah. it doesn't cool it down. But it allows that circulation.
I was going to ask if we're allowed to know, like, what is inside the bucket? Like, you said you had fans. Mm-hmm. Like, do other people have – is it just, like, hollow or
– Yeah, well, it's – okay, so, like, a Stormtrooper helmet is three pieces the way they put it together. Actually, four if you include the air, four or five. Yeah, include the ears. But the way it's put together, it's just hollow. And then even the lenses are just like a sheet that kind of goes over it. There's nothing really fancy about it. Now, some people will go all out and they'll spray inside there and they'll do all kinds of stuff. And we have fans in there, which are something you can buy. But we also do an Aker system, which is a mic.
Oh,
and,
okay.
And so that's one of the features I really like. Sometimes you can hook them up to a speaker where it gives like the chirps and like the you know, like when a stormtrooper talks in the movies after everything like he says,
yeah, it sounds amplified almost yeah. too in a
right.
way too.
And so I really like that feature because a lot of times with cosplaying anything, you don't really expect the actual sounds to come out of, you know, that cosplayer. So when I'm standing next to someone or someone standing next to me getting ready to take a picture, and I go, "Hey, how you doing, citizen?" They kind of jump back, you know,
wow.
and they don't expect, because the amplifier sits right on my chest, mm-hmm. and the wire comes up to my mouth, so I have a speaker, you know, so uh-huh. it's...
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's actually one of my favorite things to, like, hear at C2E2 is, like, them talking, like, that's
yeah,
just...
The chatter.
Yeah. It's just, like, the greatest thing.
Yeah.
So do you have, like, a Wilhelm button? Like, a Wilhelm
button? Wilhelm
yeah.
Yeah. Like, yeah. running to a kid?
Yeah, I should have. That should have been one of the buttons for my Tusken, yeah.
No, that's really, really cool. And so getting back to the documentary, now, yeah. is it going to be just the Midwest Garrison, or do you guys have interviews planned, or if we're allowed to know?
Oh, yeah, yeah, absolutely. So also, just to let your audience know that we are dropping the teaser trailer, and that'll be coming out soon. So I'm gonna give Mike here a minute to talk, and I'm going to let him answer that question a little bit. Mike, did you hear the question?
Yeah. Uh-oh, put me on the spot. Okay, now I got to pay attention here. All right. Yeah, no, the trailer will be dropped on Saturday, August 3rd.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, it's this Saturday. And it will encompass stories from other garrisons as well, because we don't want to make it just exclusively for the Midwest. It's just the Midwest is the garrison that Tom and I are following at this point, because, you know, it's local and it's easy for us to get to all the events. But we don't want it to be just exclusive to the Midwest Garrison. It should be something that everybody in the 501st should be proud of, that mm-hmm. they should be, you know, feel like they're included in the documentary, because they should be. We're not going to be able to get every story, because there's so many different stories and so many different garrisons and areas across the world. And I would love to be able to get them all. And I would love to travel to all the places, too. I mean, if someone wants to, you know, send their airplane ticket, that'd be great.
We'll
definitely meet you there. But, it's going to be all-encompassing as much as we can.
And, you know, that was the thing. When we sat there at C2E2 and talked about, you know, talking about the Midwest Garrison and how they were turning 20, that was basically an outline of what we wanted to do, to tell the story. But what ended up happening as we continued to film, mm-hmm. the story got bigger, you know, and... With a documentary versus a feature film that
right.
we worked on.
Kind of unpredictable in a sense.
Yeah.
Like you start it. And...
Exactly. So you have a film. You know, you have the actors. You have, you know, Mike, how long did we film The Rocket?
It was 14/15 days.
Yeah. And so you have your actors come in and do their lines and come out. And you have your locations all set up. And you go to town. With a documentary, that's a lot more work. It's you're in it for the long haul because, you know, we're filming these events as they're happening. So that's mm-hmm. one thing. Two, you know, even though you have an outline, you may find that story later according to the things you find. And those opportunities also start coming up to you that you didn't expect.
Right,
and
right. Because there's not really an end in mind when you begin it, right?
Like no, we actually just recently discussed an end to all this because, you know, you're filming, you're like, we can keep filming, and there's really no end to it. Because
right, it can be like just, a show. You know,
yeah,
like,
you just want to get all these people's stories, you know, and just reach out to everyone. But there has to be an end, and so the problem with that is that you just, you know, you want to make everyone proud about what you're doing here, and you also want to make a good story. So that's what we're trying to do here, and we're trying to first and foremost make this a documentary about a group of people. Okay, this is not a Star Wars propaganda. This is not a 501st propaganda. This is a story about a group of people that do this thing all over the world, and they do it out of the kindness of their hearts and for many different reasons. But, you know, there's just this camaraderie and community. And I keep using those words because those are the words that really keep coming up.
That's awesome. So it's more about the camaraderie and less about Star Wars, what's happening in like the Star Wars universe. And it's more about the people involved in behind the bucket, essentially.
Yeah, exactly. And there's always, you know, with Star Wars, there's always going to be kind of drama with this and that. You know, one of the things that we discussed is I had an opportunity We had some celebrity interviews, one being Ray Park.
Darth Maul?
Darth Maul, yeah. So
I think I've seen him from afar.
Yeah. And so Ray Park is an amazing individual. He's so awesome to his fans.
I think Brian actually showed me a video you sent to him. I was like, oh.
Yeah, and that was him talking to my son. Because my son couldn't come out that day.
Oh, the video was direct.
Yeah, yeah. So awesome. He was making a direct message to my son.
I thought it was to Brian. Brian was like, look at this video Ray Park made for me. No.
So, all for me.
Yeah, so I actually hung out with Ray for 3 days at Wisconsin Comic Book Convention. And I missed him at... we missed him at Celebration.
Celebration.
Yeah. And we had actually kind of planned out to meet him. And... the way we kind of had an in for that was there's an individual in our garrison, Ted Ruler. And Ted is one of the best Darth Maul's, you know, cosplayers, impersonators, whatever you want to call them, out there. And so Ray recognizes that as well. And so Ted is fully committed to his character. And one time he had an opportunity to stand next to Ray while he was signing autographs, and he also did something for his kids, which Ray never kind of forgot. So Ted had this connection to Ray, and he's in our garrison, and we actually interviewed him about that. And so that's one of the other things too, not to get off the subject here, but as you interview people, they talk about these things, and when you continue to film, now you start getting the coverage of those things,
right.
And you can start, you know, backing their stories up with these images, you know, that...
Oh, like the B-roll, of him at the end.
So Ted's telling this amazing story about Ray Park and all this is going on, and where I started with all this was the drama, and for those who aren't kind of aware of what happened, there was some drama with Ray Park about getting fat-shamed for his appearance in Solo. And so...
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it was by...
So that was Ray Park in the Solo movie?
Yes, that was him.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
I think I asked that question. I wasn't quite sure, and now we got our answer.
That was him. So the thing with that was, supposedly, and I don't have all the details, and I don't want to, you know, bash anyone, but supposedly it was said by a 501st member about him, you know, not looking good or heavy or whatever it was said. And, you know, Ray, being who he is and just a human, was kind of upset and hurt.
Right.
By him, you know, I mean, we're all just humans, you know.
So, I had no idea. Yeah, that really sucks.
So I was kind of hesitant on what I should say because I'm 501st, you know, because the rumor going around is that Ray Park hates the 501st now. Mm. And it's just not true. And, you know, he loves the 501st. He loves what they do. He loves his fans, and it's great. He was nothing but awesome to us, and you know, allowed us to hang out with him for 3 days and film him and take photos with him and just get, you know, and I got the reaction of his fans, which was something also very amazing, because you know, they, you know, you may be waiting in line for Ray, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. and, but the thing is, once you actually get up there, you're getting your time with him, you know, and so that's why you're waiting in such line. I mean, he's so engaging.
Like each individual.
Not rushing you through.
Yeah,
you know?
It's not just a money making thing for him. You know,
that's
awesome. He's talking with them. You know, there was this one boy that came up there, and it was just, he had talked to him before this encounter on Instagram, and Ray put a challenge up to him to do 100 push-ups. You know, and so this kid was motivated because, you know, Ray's whole thing is, yeah, he acts and he plays these roles like Snake Eyes and, you know, Darth Maul, but he's also very physical in his, you know, martial arts.
Wasn't he just a martial artist before, I think, episode one, and then that was his, like, starring role?
Yeah, and so, you know, like, he was Toad in X-Men.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know
the very
that.
First X-Men? Yeah. Yeah. He was, once again, Snake Eyes and Darth Maul. He had some other films, too. I apologize, guys.
I don't worry.
But, you know,
I didn't even know one of them. Yeah. Well, other than Star Wars, of course. Yeah.
Well, Darth Maul is the, you know, most iconic one out of all of them, I think. And, you know, so getting to my back to my point, you know, I didn't know how to react. And those are the kind of things that when you film and you start meeting people, and you know, those are the kinds of experiences you don't expect when you start this project. You know, I didn't expect to meet Darth Maul, you know, or Ray Park. I didn't, when we started this, I didn't expect to meet Weird Al Yankovic, which we just did.
Oh, that's pretty
like
cool.
Like the
Weird Al Yankovic.
Oh,
yeah,
wow.
We were on stage with him. Yeah.
Wow.
So you know, all these things started presenting themselves, and you know, so you start building this story, and that's one of the greatest things about it. I'm going to take this back to Mike, because Mike is the cinematographer on this. And, you know, once again, I have no movie experience. Mike has a vision, and Mike is an animal, because he comes all the way out to from Wisconsin to Illinois to film all these events. And so I like Mike to speak to this about what he's kind of seen so far out of this project.
Yeah, thank you, Mike, for doing all this, too. I cannot wait for this documentary now.
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, me too. And it's actually kind of funny, because I just had finished the shoot before I got into this phone call, so that's why I had to call in remotely. So I apologize, guys. It's been good. It's been busy, but it's been really good. No, let's get back to the Ray Park thing. Like, you can, like, being a cinematographer, you know, you get up and close and personal, especially when you punch in with lenses and things like that. And it was really cool in that aspect to see the genuine care that he has for his fans. I mean, you can't fake that. Like, when you get punched in on a lens, you can see, you know, up close and personal, and you can see that he was giving full attention to everybody, and that was great. But the whole process of this has been interesting and eye opening. And like Tom was saying, is that you have this guideline, you know, this structure that you start out with. You have this idea that you think you're going to be heading for, you know, this goal, and then all of a sudden everything just kind of changes, because with each little interview, there might be something that's kind of sprinkled in. I didn't expect us to actually get an interview with, you know, Ray Park. I thought my main thing was like, hey, could we just get Ted standing next to him or something like that, just kind of show, like, B-roll, like him meeting him or shaking hands. I didn't, you know, it was really cool that he let us hang out with him for 3 days, and that was, you know, that was above and beyond that I had even expected for that.
Yeah,
you know,
that's so awesome.
Kind of gave us. Yeah, it gave us so much more so that we could add into there.
So with the Weird Al thing, if I hope it's not doing any spoilers or anything, but if you don't mind me asking, how is he connected to this whole story?
So Weird Al, obviously, if you follow him at all, you know he's got a few Star Wars parody songs.
Right, right.
And so what he's been doing for the last few years is when he goes and sings that one parody song, which I believe is, what is it, Mike? Which one did he do?
It's, oh, geez. Now, you know,
Saga Begins?
I'm The Saga Begins.
So when he does The Saga Begins, as he travels from wherever he's playing, he reaches out to the local garrisons. And he brings them up on stage.
That's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah, to stand there and do a little dance number on stage with him as he's singing that song. So that's the tie-in with Weird Al. Weird Al was super cool, a childhood idol of mine, you know. But I actually wasn't suited up for that. I would love to do it again. I know he's playing again in Oswego. I got to be up on stage and I got to film and just be a part of that process and get the footage of those who were experiencing that. And so, you know, believe me, there's times I would and I have been suited up, and because I love to be in the costume too. Mm-hmm. But I also want to make sure that, you know, not that Mike wouldn't be able to, but I also want to make sure we're getting the footage, because that's more important to me.
Right.
To see other people's story, kind of being told on what we're gathering here.
And so you guys did get an interview with Weird Al as well?
No, we didn't get a weird. Well, we never had the okay for the interview. Mm-hmm. You know, Weird Al is.
That's a hot ticket.
Yeah, it's a hot ticket. You know, he's. I don't know how to. The thing with him is he's quiet, and we didn't want to push the envelope with him. As far as, you know, we got the footage. We got, you know, the fact that we were allowed to be up on stage. That was awesome. Or in backstage, you know. Mm-hmm. That was great. But the problem was with so much Weird Al's team, but the venue. They didn't really want us to the film there. Mm-hmm. And it was the union laws and this kind of stuff. So, you know, I almost been considering and trying to reach out, because I made a connection with Weird Al's people.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
see if we can probably try it again in Oswego, you know. But we got what we need, you know. It's having a celebrity kind of like aspect to it, it adds some production value, but that's
it
not
helps,
really.
But it's not like
yeah,
the
that's not really
for
what I'm going purpose. For. So, you know, it is cool though. I mean, so
super cool.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I mean, but that's the thing. You know, Star Wars reaches out to everyone, and so many people have these different entry points to Star Wars. And for me, it always blows my mind, because I'm thinking, oh, you like Star Wars, so you love the original three movies, and that's how you came to love Star Wars. No, you know, you start talking to people and you realize they love Star Wars because they played the video game, or because they
episode 1 through 3,
yeah, or they, you know,
Battlefront,
or the prequels, God bless them, you know. No, I'm not one of those guys. I swear to God, I'm not one of those guys. I love, you know, listen, there's a lot of great things about the prequels.
We can have a whole podcast.
Yeah.
But, you know, I mean, it's just even the animated series, so that always like it blows my mind when I think people come into Star Wars from those different reasons. But
now the new generation, when the Disney, like, little girls, oh, I love Rey, and having Rey action figures.
Well,
and,
has the 501st been mentioned in anything as far as, like, the Clone Wars animated series? Because I think I read somewhere that they were also nodded in Battlefront 2 as well, where you actually play as the 501st.
Yes. So, okay, for those who don't realize, the name 501st comes from the movies or the animated series themselves. So 501st was Vader's elite. You know, those were his troopers that were you know, side by side with him as he went into battle. So that's kind of where the name derives from.
Also, the name came from.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I thought it was the other way around.
So, but coming full circle, the 501st flag, not the garrison flag, but the worldwide flag. It's and I'm doing it for you guys, and I know you can't see this while listening on the radio, but
we can see it.
It's a stormtrooper, kind of like in, you know, his position of holding the gun, and so there's in a circle that says 501st and everything like that. And so actually, the guy that designed that was out of my garrison. So it was kind
so the
of
World
cool.
Garrison was
yeah.
in the Midwest?
So World Garrison logo, that guy was out of my garrison, and he's a whole nother podcast too. He's amazing. He does all the costumes from the expanded universe. So,
like the books and whatnot?
Yeah, he's got some amazing stuff. And he sculpts his stuff. I mean, it's incredible. Yeah. So, yeah. It's very, I mean, he's got, oh my goodness, I'm sorry, I love to drop these names, but I'm just like blanking right now. But yeah, he's got all these expanded universe, like Sith Lords and stuff like that. And so, but getting back to my point, that flag, or that logo was put on a flag that was put in one of the movies recently, hanging there.
Really?
So
really?
Yeah, so that was Disney saying, you know, like not saying the 501st. So cool. Yeah,
really cool. I'm gonna have to rewatch them now.
Yeah, because we're gonna have to go to watch the movies.
Yeah. So
where's
yeah,
that flag?
Yeah, very cool. But you know, so yeah, they obviously recognize us. They see what we're doing. You know, they really want us to. One of the things that's going on right now is they want us to play nice with other groups. You know, we obviously as the 501st, we put our own groups together or our own events together.
Mm-hmm.
The Midwest Garrison, I can't speak for every garrison. I can just only speak for the Midwest Garrison. The Midwest Garrison has always been not exclusive, but inclusive the other groups as far as getting, you know, Rebel Legions to come in, especially the bigger events too, you know.
Right.
They really want, I mean, having a bunch of stormtroopers is very cool, but having some stormtroopers and an R2 and a Rey or a Chewbacca, you know, which is Rebel Legion, you know, it's just so much cooler.
Right,
you know?
Right.
Yeah, have the whole setup.
Yeah, and, you know, it's funny because there is like a level of, you know, like, where people freak out, you know, they see a face character, and you know, if you look like the character, then it's cool, you know, and people really want your picture. Everyone loves stormtroopers, you know, they want your picture with them. Everyone loves Vader, they want your picture. But when a Wookiee walks into the room, people lose it.
Oh yeah,
I mean,
like they see him on the still.
Yeah, they want hugs, they want the pictures with them. You know, you know, to be a Wookiee, you definitely get a lot of attention.
That's awesome.
Yeah, for sure. So, but yeah, you know, this documentary has just been such a learning experience. I think Mike can, you know, say the same thing.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a great experience. Like, and I don't know, it's hard to describe, and just all that I've learned in the last year, and actually through this year, I ended up becoming a member myself.
Mm-hmm.
So June 1st is actually my first day.
So Mike, so does that mean you have a costume as well?
Yeah, Imperial Crew, and actually I was very fortunate. This is to show how caring and generous the people are in the 501st, and especially the Midwest Garrison, where, you know, I became a member of. They actually all pitched in and got me a costume, an Imperial Crew uniform.
Oh, wow.
And I wasn't expecting it, and it was. They surprised me at C2E2 with that, and
that's awesome.
Yeah, it was really cool, and it, you know, I still am shocked about it because it's like, wow, I didn't even foresee it coming. You know, Tom would ask me like sizes for things like a couple weeks before, you know, C2E2, and I didn't even think about it. Like, why are you asking me
shirts
about like pant size, you know, hat size, things like that? I'm like, oh well. I didn't think anything of it. And
I was just like, yeah,
pretty
like,
common question.
I told him, I said, we're doing a grab bag. It's the first thing I can come up with. And I said, you know, we're going to have some hats in there. We're going to have some flip-flops or something.
What's your size?
You know,
yeah,
so,
that's a good tag.
Yeah. So,
just my friend asking my size.
You know, Mike's about the same build as me, so I was able to kind of figure that. His M scene in.
You know. Oh, 32 long? Yeah, no problem. Yeah.
What's your head size?
Yeah. So,
hold on, let me just, don't mind this measuring tape going around your head.
Yeah. So, yeah, what ended up happening was getting back to Rex, our commanding officer, I told Rex this. Well, this kind of came up from another member. You know, we were kind of talking about making him an honorary member because of all the work he's been doing, you know, filming and driving, and you know, Mike's not getting any kind of money for this, and nobody is. And so you know, we wanted to do that for him as far as making him an honorary member. And so for people that aren't kind of familiar with honorary member is, those are people that are associated with Star Wars one way or the other, or the garrisons, and like Weird Al, you know, he's an honorary member, or Ray Park, who was an honorary member. And, you know, so they kind of get a plaque and all this stuff. And that's what I wanted to do for Mike, but I thought it would also be better if we just got him in the garrison. And mm-hmm. So
this was a complete surprise.
This was a complete surprise. And I reached out to, you know, we have our Facebook closed groups, which Mike wasn't a part of at the time. So I knew he wasn't going to see any of the chatter going on. And I'm like, listen, guys, you've all seen him working his butt off at these events. You know, let's do something nice for him. I'm taking in donations. And so I think I had to raise something like $500.
Oh, wow.
Not including the boots. Because there were some items we already had, like, donated. So I needed another $500 to complete the costume.
Now, were you managed to catch his reaction?
Yes.
On
so
awesome. We're looking forward to that.
Yeah, we're getting into that, too. What we did was we're at C2E2. We obviously got all the money we needed, and the biggest thing was ordering it from all the vendors, or mm-hmm. you know, and getting it on time. And luckily, we did. We got everything on time by C2E2. So I told Mike, I said, "Hey, we're gonna film a special event. I need you to set up the camera on the tripod." And, you know, that way he wasn't hand-holding this. You know?
And, just flip it at him.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. And I said, we're going to do it up against this wall. I got everyone sort of together that I could round up. And, you know, I started saying, we're going to make an announcement. And I say, hey, Mike, why don't you come out from behind the camera and come up and stand next to me? And so I told him, you know, what we were doing this whole time, and presented him with the costume. And, yeah, he was shocked.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
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 Well, I definitely cannot wait to see the fruits of your guys' labor.
Yeah.
And so do you guys have a Facebook page right now?
Yeah. We have Facebook, which is Behind the Bucket. And then our Instagram, which is Behind the Bucket Doc, all one word. And then our Twitter is Behind Bucket. Is that right, Mike?
Yeah, Behind Bucket.
Behind Bucket. And then the website is behindthebucket.com. Yeah. And so, you know, if there's also something I can say about this documentary is that this has been a complete passion project. And we've not that there hasn't been that many funds, but we've completely funded this ourselves as far as our time, talent, and efforts.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that have come together to also make this happen are people that are donating their time, like Brian, for example, putting the website together. Or, you know, I have original musical scores coming from a few friends, you know.
And David, who's editing.
And
yeah.
David, who's editing this whole thing. So
wow, so it's more than just like medleys from Star Wars. You actually have people coming in doing sound and music.
Yeah, oh,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
This is, I mean, this is legit, you know. So this is, and that's the thing about, you know, I've seen some good documentaries, but, you know, Mike does a good job. This is actual coming from filmmakers, you know. So, not to say that no one else has, but, you know, so this is going to have production value, and it's going to have, you know, you know, we have writers on this too, you know, helping to tell this story. So.
Now, you did say that when it is fully released, it's going to be on YouTube.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are there any plans maybe making it like DVD? I know nobody buys DVDs anymore. But.
Well, yeah, actually, I've been getting a lot of that because, you know, people do still like tangible things, you know. Yeah,
especially at the cons, because you're always seeing like
right
booths of DVDs. And,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So we can't make money on any of this because of the ties to Disney
Star Wars
and all that stuff. But yeah, we can sell things at cost. And we were going to have a premiere, which is, you know, something very cool, you know, open to family and friends. And we're thinking about doing that at the Rialto Theater.
Oh,
which is
a wow.
Yeah,
beautiful theater, and we filmed there for Joliet, which is the Rialto Theater is in Joliet, and so that Star Wars event, the Rialto Theater opens their doors to all these Star Wars geeks. And
I bet your premiere is going to be really awesome.
So, I mean, that's one of our options, something we're working on. And so, you know, we want to do swag too, and all those little things, you know, you don't think about. But
so you are allowed to sell like the hats?
I'm wearing one right now.
Yeah,
you
know, I see that. It's a very really nice cool. hat, by the
way. Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's our official font and our logo. And so, you know, that's just something, you know, I can have made up at the mall, or, you know, with the Garrison, one of our biggest things too is patches and coins. So
our friend Mike, our other co-host that's not here today, he's a big patch man.
Large patch.
So small patches, big patches.
I'm wearing them right now too, you know, but the patches is a whole another animal as far as, you know, the collecting and everything that goes along.
Now, is that patch? Is he drinking a beer in that one?
No.
It's the shoulder pad, right?
It's the pauldron.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, and I thought he stuck like a whole beer in his mouth.
I didn't even realize it. The flag that I was talking about is right here.
Oh, okay.
So this is the...
You did a very good job.
Yeah. I'm representing it. Yeah. So I know you guys can't see it, but Google it.
Google does exist.
So, you know, there's just this whole, once again... community of people backing us up, because, you know, they're seeing Mike do the work and they're seeing us out there, so they generally want to help. I mean, we have another guy too coming up with all our logos and stuff like that, so those are the things that are going to end up on our posters and our patches and all that kind of stuff for those premieres. So yeah, it's just it's been an amazing experience. I truly enjoy working with Mike on this project and others, and it's been great.
Great. Well, I want to thank you, Tom, very, very much so for joining us this evening on Region Nerd Alert. Thank you, Mike, for calling in. Very much appreciate you both. And honestly, I'd love to have you guys in again.
Yeah.
Like, if there's another event happening, like, come on in and we'll talk about it,
absolutely.
Push it out.
Yeah, or even just talk Star Wars.
Oh, yeah.
I was going to say, we made a Star Wars.
Or cosplay.
Star Wars episode 2.
We had a Star Wars podcast before about the new trilogy.
We didn't scratch the surface.
We didn't even scratch the surface.
What did we talk about? The new trilogy and like basically only talked about one episode.
So when the third movie comes out, expect a call from me.
Yeah.
We want you in.
Oh, very cool.
And Mike, too. You're also invited.
Sounds good.
Awesome. Well, thank you, listeners, for Region Nerd Alert. And if you're listening on NPR One, thank you for streaming it. If you're listening to it live, if this does go live, I'm pretty sure it is. If it's live, hello, live listeners. But it's not live right now. So no. I see Heather's face like light up.
No,
wait,
like,
we're on there.
No, I don't care if we're live. And I'm like, we're live.
But yeah, I want to thank everyone again. LakeshorePublicRadio.org. You can find Region Nerd Alert. We're on the tab now. You don't have to search ANZ. We're actually on the tab. So we're a featured show.
Moving on up.
Upgrading with every episode.
Yep. And thank you, everyone, for being here. And goodbye.
Bye.
Thank you, guys. Bye.